Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Michelle Mache, it's your host. It's your zany host, your guide, your soul guide. Keeping it light, keeping it real. Welcome guests, welcome, hi Denise, Monopoly in the chat, and welcome those that are listening in the archives later, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio as well. Got a great program today, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. And then we're going to be diving into some questions. So we have Mally and Joe today, Mally Apple and Joe Dunn, who are the authors. They're authors, relationship coaches, lovers, and best friends. Ooh, all wrapped into one. How wonderful. The best-selling book, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships, that has helped thousands. I'll be in talking about that, as well as the sequel, The Soulmate Lover, which I think all of that is kind of appropriate for the times and interesting. So nice to get their take on the soulmate experience, and we'll be diving into that. And remember, our soulmate isn't just our lover. We have many soulmates. Like getting that soulmate that's also a life partner. That's a whole other thing. So they'll be coming on at the second half of the program, and until then, we'll be answering calls, answering your questions, and just diving into some conversation here. So lots going on. If you do have a question or comment, please press 1 on your keypad. I see a lot of listeners listening by phone. I just want to make sure if you have questions, I may just pick up anyway. Because I invariably get the emails, I waited so long on the phone and you just kept talking, and finally I went to another show or I had to hang up. And I'm like, but you didn't press 1 on the keypad. So when you press 1, that lets me know that you want to get on air. So if you guys can let me know how my sound is as well, that would be great. And Monopoly, how's the sound? Sound okay? See, the, my the way BTAR is set up here, my sound engineers are the people in the chat, my co-hosts, the COs, co-hosts, co-collaborators, co-creators, co-hearts, co-pilots. Thank you, Monopoly, sound engineer. Thank you. And actually, he's a musician, so, but that doesn't really count with this, because this BTAR has a whole new way. And the sound working on Safari, too. Oh, good. Yeah, I'm on Safari, actually, also. Oh, good. One person pressed 1. Okay. The other people, like the 323456, the other numbers that are there, if you want to get on air, press 1 on your keypad and let me know. So I started my soul entrepreneurship group. It is going amazing. We have the first seed group, and I'm just getting such great feedback. And the guides have been buzzing me, and really looking, getting some really good insight as to what's coming up. And I really want to share all that with you. Hey, Denise, Michelle, hello. Okay, so some people are getting in a little bit later. I got a little email. Yeah, the chat. People have trouble getting in. It's a little cloggy. Not everybody's able to get in, but that's okay. You're here at least. You're here. So, what happened? I just lost it. There we go. Boy, I'm having little tech stuff here. Just disappeared the, all the callers bounced off. Call back in. safari, just as soon as I was talking about the guide, so I guess they want me to go back to that. Everything closed down. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Now everything is back, coming back up. Studio, there we are. Okay, wonderful. So I've had some questions, and I did touch on this, you know, last week about the difference between the soul path and life path, and, you know, what we're really doing here. So I want to touch on that a bit before we get to callers' questions and dive into about the Soul Entrepreneurship Group a bit as well, because that ties into this. So the way that it is going right now in the universe, the universal trend or flow, and that's what we read as certain types of psychics, I would say, were futurists, and especially as a channeler, because I'm working with the oversouls and the spiritual hierarchy, which is the impulse. It's the part of the universe, the part of us, the part of the, all that is, the consciousness that has to do with bringing in the new, the co-creation of life, setting things up. You know, also being a light worker is an aspect of that as well. So it really, it's about understanding the blueprint of the universe, the thrust, the trend that's happening, and where is that thrust leading us or taking us. And people get a vibe of it, whether they know or not, and speak it. Certain groups may see something, whether it's in environmental, you know, sustainability, you know, housing, real estate, cars, technology. It's always going to be what people look at, forward-thinking people, people that have seen beyond the curve or pushed or nudged in a certain way. And so you can tell those trends. I even see this with my clients that are, you know, stock markets or venture capitalists, but because they're knowing what they're investing in, where are things going. And there are obviously people that do this. It can be a part of business as well as advertising when you're looking at trends and demographics. And some of that can be, by the way, everybody, some of that can be doctored up. So you want to make sure you're getting the true prevailing trend. Where are things really going? And some of it is also just trusting your intuition, just having a knack for something. Or perhaps where you're at in your life, what's unfolding for you, is also synergistic. And there's an energy that's synergistic. There's a symbiotic energy between what's going on in the world or those around you. You know, it could be community, depending on what your focus is. And that things seem to be clicking and coming into place for you. And so some of that is just being kind of led intuitively, opening up. It's living life with an opening and being open to receive, because when we're always in a constant forward motion or action, which we need to be in action, we need to follow through, we need to have action. But when we're only focused on action or getting our ideas met, we can miss the boat. And this is why in many ways I love working with technologists or people that are doing startups, especially in technology. They're much more, I'm finding, much more fluid than other sectors of the population a lot of times. They may have an idea, but they're not stuck to it because they're watching something. And then maybe something, you know, almost by a boo-boo, right, a mistake, something else gets developed or created and developed. You know, something gets invented, something gets innovative. And if you are living your life more artistically, more connected to your soul, you begin to see that everything you do is a form of self-expression or soul expression. And perhaps you may not even, maybe your focus isn't so external, but your focus may be more internal. You know, and by the way, the people that I've worked with on a business level, though they're watching, you know, facts and figures and numbers external, they all have shared with me that they spend a lot of time on their own. You know, some of them it's meditation, some of it's prayer, some of it's on the golf course, some of it's while they're running, some of it's while they're walking. But it's in some form of, what do we want to call it, a state of hypnosis, you know, a hypnotic state, an entrained state, a meditative state, a state where they're letting the left quadrant of the brain, that left hemisphere of the brain. They're letting that recess. So they're not in a thinking mode. And a lot of them tell me they'll churn ideas over and over and over, and then they just let it go, or their mind just wanders. You know, I call it also Einstein thinking, because Einstein, you know, if you read biographies about him, there's always a lot about how he would go, and I found it interesting, go down into his laboratory office and work on the equations or algorithms or problems, if you will. He'd work on them, which is the left brain working, and then after a while he'd go, you know, there's a stare at the moon. There's a key, I'm paraphrasing, but, or meditate, or he'd take a nap. And then it was after that the flash of insight came in. So think of the left side of your brain, or left aspect of your brain, that part of your being, you're churning to make something happen. You're tilling the soil, and then something gets seeded. You put the seed. After you churn, there's always a seed. There's a question, right? There's a, you know, Socratic questioning. You know, there's the what is this, or why is this, or why isn't this there in the world, or what do I need to be focused on now? What's most alignment to my soul? You know, what would really make me happy? Can't think the answer. You can think the question, but you can't think the answer. And so it's in that space, you know. That's a good tweet. If you guys retweet it, let me know. Oh, the guys are there. So, yeah, you can't. The question can be thought, but not the answer. And because the question is coming from where we are now, it always is. And the answer is where we're going. You know, what we haven't yet seen, what we need to integrate. So a lot of you have heard me say this, but I'm saying it more and more, and I'm, you know, kind of nudging more people. And this is a very powerful time for all of us. We are in the great, we've been in the quickening, but we're in the apex of the quickening. So there is a lot more speeding up. There's a lot more energy, a lot more insight. There's a lot more ways of connecting. There's a lot more belief, believe it or not, pun intended, on the planet. There's a lot more people saying, you know what, I might just try and do what I really want to do. I might as well just go for it, or I might as well try to do something else. Just what the heck, I'm going to try. And I think, you know, try, that word try gets a bad rap. People, oh, don't try, just do it. No, just try. And if it's meant to be, and you, that's what you're aligned to and you want to, it'll turn into a can do. But I think so many times we hold ourselves back because we think we have to complete everything. And sometimes being in the incompleteness, you know, is where the magic happens. So let yourself try. Let yourself just try. And if it doesn't, you know, I heard something the other day, and although I partially agree with this, where they were saying, the first mistake is learning. It's only a mistake when you keep doing it. But the first mistake you learn. And I think it'd be more than one. I think I was thinking to myself, well, it could be more than one, right? So if you don't try, if you don't embark and stay with it as long as you can, that's, you know, that's the key. Thank you, Denise, just put in the chat my quote, sometimes being in the incompleteness is where the magic happens. That's where the magic happens. Yeah, in the completeness, incompleteness. Yeah, in the incompleteness. Do you guys get that? Because when it's complete, it's kind of done. It's that interesting space in between where we were and where we're going, what we know and what we don't know. That's what's happening. If you can hang out there longer. And that's the artist. Those of you that are listening that are, you know, I don't care if it's musician or whatever art, we're all artists on a soul level, because the soul is about the creative expression and experience, self-expression. Expression of the self with the big S, is the soul. It's the soul in human form, crystallized form, to put it in metaphysical terms. But every art, and I know myself, when I was either on stage or acting, or even when I had my television show, And, you know, I'd have a list of questions, but things were clicking. I didn't know what was going to happen next. How are they going to respond? There's a gap there, right? The mystery, the gap. And those of you that go to that canvas, I think I look at the blank page. I think for me, some of my, and I have a really, really good friend, artist friend, Lizette Van Ray, and she's shown all over the world, and she's just amazing. And I interviewed her. Well, I interviewed her for Conscious Inspired Living, and she was also on my show years ago. And you know, since we're, you know, personal friends, I spent a lot of time with her and her family and got to see her studio. And I remember one time going into her studio, and she had all these canvases leaning against the wall, and then she had this blank one. And I looked at that and I said, oh my God, how do you know? How does that blank canvas get to where all those colors and things are? And she says, it's scary every time. It's scary every time. And she goes, I don't know. She goes, and when I think I know and I go there, it turns into something else. It just starts happening. That means she's in the process of life. She's in the flux, the flow. She's willing. If you think of the canvas as the left side of the brain, it's all set up. We've got the structure. We've got the form. And then the inside of the canvas is the unknown. What happens there? What's the alchemical process? What comes together? So in many ways, that's what we're also doing on, you know, this earth plane. We are here to express and experience ourselves as these amazing emotional, I'm going to say it, emotional beings, not emotionalism, but energy in motion. Where is our passion? That's our emotion. We talk about emotions in regards to psychology, of the psyche. Psychology, psyche, the word psyche means soul in Latin. So you're ups, you're downs, you're happy, you're sad. All of that is part of the soul game. We want to play that panoply of emotion. So we're going to get to callers. I want to answer this one question that Vanessa wrote in and said, could you please explain the soul path more deeply? Okay. So, you know, we have this succession of awakenings. I've talked about that. That's why the show is called Awakenings. It's not just awakening. We don't just poof. In fact, some of you may have seen on my Instagram the other day and Facebook page that I did this post that I am more awake today. Well, I had a major shift in my life, a major personal shift, and with some stuff that I've been working on and some walls and barriers, plexiglass walls, not any hard walls, but plexiglass is pretty hard. You can see through it, but still it's kind of hard. And I'd gone on a long bike ride and a meditation, and I've been doing my inner work. And I decided, and I knew like 2 weeks ago, and I think we were talking about this in the chat and on the show, that, and I know I was with my personal clients, that something had shifted. People felt like they'd gone through a lot of emotional turmoil, inner turmoil, or with relationships, and that one day they just kind of woke up and said, oh, wow, something's different. Something, which always is happening. Our shifts always happen first energetically. They happen on a feeling or feeling tone level, and then they move more into the emotional state, and then they move more into the mental, the cognitive state, and then they move more into the behavioral state or the action state. So you may be shifting. It's kind of like when you're pregnant, you feel things happening and you're, oh, what's going on there? You know, there's rumblings inside. What's going on? Or you just know something's changing. You know, we feel that change, and many of us kind of try to bounce out at that point. That's the point. You got to stay with it and kind of nurture it along. Can't rush labor, can't rush the birth. So that happened. And so the dovetailing of that was this shift. And I was just, wow. Another level of awakening. So in saying that, at some point, now some people have come already in with this. I have, maybe some of you listening have already, and then you kind of get your mission papers or where you're going or what you're going to do with your soul awareness. But if you haven't yet had that soul awareness, and you are like Vanessa, I'm not going to go, it was a very long email, but the gist of it was, you know, go more deeply into the soul path. And she had said she'd been changing for a while, the friendships changing, no longer wanting to do the same job, you know. So all these little awakenings at some point gets you to a crossroads in your life where you start going deeper and you start questioning, what am I really here to do? What is this world really about? Or you start feeling something happen and you start listening, like, oh, I don't know why I went there. You know, why I keep going to this cafe or this shop, or why I just felt the need to go back to the gym, or I felt the need to swim again. I don't know why. And then, of course, you're at the pool and then you meet somebody that's, it's a life-changing situation. So somewhere on your path, see, the life path, yeah, you can be intuitive, but basically the life path, what we call, is just a bit more exoteric. It's more of the external. And the esoteric, or getting deep within the magic, the mystery, the alchemy of life, the mysticism of life, the mystical aspect. If you read people like Hildegard Bingham, St. Thomas Aquinas, to name a few. Gosh, there's so many. I'm drawing a blank on one, but who started, Matthew Fox is another. These people, Carlos Castaneda, you know, Starhawk, let's see, No Eyes, the shaman. There's some that give a map or an inkling of what's below the surface and what creates the surface. That's when you start getting on the soul path, because the soul path is the design, right? It's our life design. And it's much like a house. You know, I have realtor friends, and then I've seen on, I love that Million Dollar Listing. I love watching all these kind of shows that show how different people live. And I've heard realtors, and I didn't know this because it's not my field, but they say, oh, I like the bones of the house. I'm like, the bones? They're seeing below the surface. They're seeing beyond the paint, beyond where the windows are. They're seeing the structure of the house. They're even seeing beyond the molding. They're seeing what is structurally there and what can be done with it. So when you start diving deeper in your life, asking yourself those kinds of questions, you begin to embark on a soul path. That means your soul is talking to you, saying, look beyond the surface, look below the surface to see what is it you really want. What are you really drawn towards? What is the most life enhancement to you? What is the most fulfilling for you in your life? Beyond what other people say, beyond what the exoteric is, beyond that, what is important to you? And so when you start doing that, then this wonderful magic mystery, Tamara also put in the chat, yes, Jean Houston is another one. And Jean Shinoda Bolin, I worked with her, studied with her years ago, just on a lecture series when I was doing a lot of Jungian study and research. And Tamara, so many luminaries to be inspired by. Yes, yes. Another great one that we've had on the program, obviously, is Hank Wesselman. Oh, one of my faves, Tamara, Clarice Pinkola Estes, for sure. Dwayne Elgin taps in into that as well. David Hawkins, Power versus Force. Larry Dossey, Robert Bly, Marion Woodman. Yeah, those are diving in, seeing below the surface. So you know when you're starting to get that call that you're looking deeper. And I love that Vanessa wrote in her email that it's about, tell us about this, tell me about the soul path, you know, can you go deeper into that? And I thought that's really what it is. You know, it's those great philosophers of our time and beyond. And, you know, even like a D.H. Lawrence, a Blavatsky, I mean, you will find that the mystics have a fit with, you know, Rumi, of course, Hafez, you know, Cahil Gibran. You will find there's a poetry. And this is where, that if you look at scripture, whether it's, you know, Sufism, Hinduism, you know, taking in the, like Mahabharata, Milarepa, you know, for looking Eastern. Again, there's so many there. They all had a poetry, flowetry about them. Even if you look at like ancient texts of Bible or the Quran or Torah or, you know, this the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali, They all had allegories. They all had stories with a message. And that's one thing I would invite all of you to do, is look and see, what is the message of your story? Or what is the story you're saying that has a message? And does that come through in your music? Does it come through in the way you talk, how you dress? You know, where you go, what colors you're drawn to? Is it coming through a particular art form, you know, or a way of being in your life? Because every one of us is here, and that's part of the new paradigm, is to pass on our message, you know, and live our message. You got to first be living it before you're passing it on, of course, but to live our message more fully. But you have to understand what the message is. We don't just wake up and know the message. It's yet to be discovered. We have to find the message by going within and letting it be revealed to us, and then allowing it. So the more you're allowing your message and listening to your message, the more you're going to be in that magic and mystery of life. Now, I see a lot of callers, and I just don't know, are you guys just listening? If you have questions, please press 1 on the keypad. Oh, Oscar Wilde is another one. My thoughts would say, Oscar Wilde, one of the best, one of the best. Sorry, I had to take a little drinky of my water. Okay, so let's get to callers. And we've got the first one, 347-303. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. It's Tasha. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you. I have a question. I do feel that I am trying to find out what my soul path at this point, and I'm getting a little bit more clarity as I put in the work myself as well. Mm-hmm. I do have a question. As I'm trying to clear, I realize that I feel like I'm attracting certain people that I've left in the past in reference to, like, drama. So this is, mm-hmm. like, I don't know how to, like, reword it, but it's just like, am I attracting it? Am I calling it in? Like, I'm not so sure.
Okay, what's come up for you, if you don't mind? We don't have to go in great, great detail, but what's come up that's saying you're attracting people from the past or situations from the past?
Yes, like my cousin, he has a lot of drama, and I stopped talking to him for a while, maybe about a year, year and a half now. It's like all of a sudden he's contacting me and texting me out of nowhere. It's like instances like that. It's like, yeah.
Okay. So that's not necessarily bad. So we're going to attract, yes, this is why I'm not wild about the secret. You're going to attract everything in life. It's just like when you go outside, it's what you allow to stick with you, and it's also how you handle it. The other thing is, very often when we're shifting, remember, we're all interconnected. And some people, by the way, even though they're not acting it on this level or this dimension, they could be pretty darn aware or meant to be mirroring something for you, okay? Or you're to help them grow in some capacity, or they're to show you where you've grown or where you've moved on. So one thing, and I'm not necessarily saying you're doing this, but I do hear this a lot. A lot of times people think when they shift and they're more in resonance that there's not going to be any dissonance, there's not going to be any disruption, and of course there will be. Or there's this idea that I'm not going to attract any, you know, challenging or difficult or negative experiences, you know. So people, when you shift, people will come back around. You know, it's kind of like when you get with a significant other, somebody that you're really into, all of a sudden the exes come back, or you get engaged, all of a sudden the ones that didn't want you now want you, you know. So our shift is still, okay, well then you know, then that is definitely a sign that you're on the right path and something is shifting, because they're feeling it subconsciously. They're feeling it on the inner plane or through the inner psyche, which is on a soul level. So everyone that we've incarnated with, you know, all the people that are around us, there is enough resonance to hold us there. And sometimes we shift and we bring people in and they're shifting as well. Here's the thing. It's kind of, there's a thing in the universe, in the universal flow, there's the law of return. And this goes for us as well as other people that are connected to us. That what is ours or mental will come back around for us to choose. And that's also being helped by people or helping other people. So these circumstances come back around. And as they come back around, the people that are involved in the circumstances come back around. And we can check in. This is one of the, in fact, another master that I absolutely love, is, and she's been on the program, Carol K. Anthony. Her book, A Guide to the I Ching, is just phenomenal. And she talks about this in her book, that we keep an open mind. But we, so in other words, we don't have to steal ourselves away from people, like, I remember how they are, they're going to hurt me, they're this way, that way. But we keep attuned to the openings, right, and the closings. So if they're exhibiting the same non-life-enhancing behavior, you know, they're acting out, then we just, in neutrality, we withdraw, but we don't close the door. So you're both learning, Tasha, how to keep the door open, how to keep the heart open, to keep, because that's also drawing, magnetizing your experiences. So not to shut down, but like a ninja, like a martial arts person, you see it coming and you just move the other way. You know, or if something happens and you do get hit, you just kind of go, woo, they're kind of the same, move on over. So here's the thing, when these kind of situations come back, that means there's been enough of a shift, it's created another gap in the universe, in your little universe, to draw something in. So something is, the puzzle pieces of your life have moved around enough that now there's something new is coming in. So what happens in the gap, the space, you know, something falls in. So your key is just not getting caught up in it. Just see it as passing through.
It makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It does. So before, I would have just completely cut off.
Oh, good. So now you're not cutting off.
No, I'm not.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Because remember, everyone, this is so great you called in, Tasha, because everyone, we need to all remember this. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want to be more intuitive. I want to be more open to the universe, awake, aware. I want to feel more. I want to be an empath. And then go, oh, but not to those people in those situations or those feelings. It doesn't work like that. And I do find a lot of people that I work with personally on the path, they start opening up and then they start seeing and feeling more. And it's like, why am I feeling this and seeing this? It's because you're open to everything. And see, the universe does not, it's not in duality. You know, it's there's a place above the duality, you know, or within the duality, where there's a perfect, you know, centering point, perfect resting point, is not this extreme. And remember that the soul is not judging our experiences, only the ego part of us. So it's just like, well, this thing came in or that thing came in. And you know, you can look at it also like a menu, like you're in the restaurant and you're offered certain things and you just look at it on the menu and say, well, you know, I don't feel like that today, or I don't eat that anymore.
Right,
but we don't have to get upset. Yeah, we don't have to get upset at the owner of the restaurant. Why do you have that on the menu? You know, because that's going to pull us into, that's going to pull us into the situation more. And believe it or not, when you're shifting like this, on a psychic soul level, people are drawn to you and they do want that healing. It's just if the constructed ego hasn't been dealt with through emotional clearing, repatterning, some kind of inner work. If they haven't done some kind of inner work, they could be pushing away the very thing that they want, or instead of bringing, they could be bringing bonding or connecting through drama. You know, instead of what's more life enhancing. So sometimes that happens as well. So it sounds like you're a little bit right now more in the clearing to get clarity part of your path. Does that make sense?
It does, totally, 100%.
Yeah.
It does, because even when my cousin contacted me, it was just like, how do I handle this? Do I cut him off? Do I, you know, engage? And I did kind of, now that you put it more clear, it's like I did look at as a menu. Like, what will I accept? What will I not accept? And I had to also be stern and, yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Now, let me share something, because at the top of the program or your call, you said you were, let's see, what is this kind of yourself? Oh, just looking. Denise putting choosing my battles more wisely. Something you said, Tasha, and I'm going to have to sell to other people. If you have we have a lot of people listening, but I don't know if they're just listening by phone and not wanting to. The caller number 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad if you want to chat, if you want to talk. So, Tasha, one thing that you said, and I want to kind of back up because it came to me in my meditation. Of course, you know, I'm doing the Soul Entrepreneurship Program. And so I'm getting a lot of, you know, I have a curriculum set up, but there's a lot of information that I'm going to be giving people weekly. But we're starting easy. We're easing into it. So one of the things that I find, it's not covered as much, and I do get a lot of these questions. How do I know my soul's purpose? How do I know? And I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over, and I haven't seen it written anywhere, and this is why I think people sometimes go for a specific job or career thinking that's their purpose, and they still feel unfulfilled. Okay, do you hear me on this? Everybody feel me on what I'm saying. Your soul's purpose is not a specific job or career. It may come through that. It may. But those things change. That's like back in the day when I was first started all this, I get women saying, well, my soul's purpose is being a good mother. No, that's not. No, that's one of your expressions. That's one of your roles. That's, you know, title, role, whatever. That's not your soul's purpose. What kind of mother are you? How are you? So really, two focuses that you can have that will start guiding you faster to the unfolding of your soul's purpose. They always say finding it, but it unfolds within us. We find it within us. It's revealed to us. And that's why it's so exciting, is because we're in the process of it being revealed to. Otherwise, it'd be kind of boring, like, well, I'm to do this. No, it's
right.
To really be your soul's purpose, right? So
that's true.
If you just realize that you're a spiritual being, your spirit, and you have a soul, you know, or your soul is your blueprint of how you're to be. It's the soul. Spirit has no individuation until it takes form, right? Spirit just is. There's no duality in spirit. There's no male or female spirit. There's nothing of that in there. It's not until the spirit congeals into a soul that's the first, you know, other than the first manifestation is the word, okay, is energy, is the word, is vibration. And from vibration comes the soul, okay? So if you get that handle, then you say to yourself, how do I want to express this? How do I want to experience this? Where do I want to experience this? Why? Now you're tapping into soul qualities. That's going to lead you to your soul's purpose. So I thought about it this morning. It's so interesting you called, Tasha. This came in my meditation to try to get clarity. So I got up really early, then I went back to bed, then I went into this deep dream state where I was doing work with my dream state, doing work with my guides and getting some information on the dream level. And then came out and was in my meditation. And so they said, give the example of when you, which is such a, I don't know why I didn't think about it, was a TV host, an interviewer, I was an interviewer. There's thousands, millions, there's millions of interviewers, there's millions of, you know, talk show hosts, you know, TV talk show hosts. I was so connected to my soul's purpose because I knew what I was about. I would literally get people writing in saying, is Michelle a psychologist? What's her background? She asks the most revealing questions. The way she asks questions is so interesting. And my executive producer, you know, would have a laugh and say, it's so weird because you do ask different questions, Michelle, than most hosts. And you kind of prod a little bit. And all the questions that I would ask, not only were getting to the depth or below the surface of what the person was doing, but tapping into what made them special, what made them tick. And then relaying, because my idea was to inspire others that would be listening to this. Okay. So the questions I would ask would be very deep and revealing. Sometimes even on the break, the guests would say to me, well, I didn't know this was a psychological session, or I didn't know you were going to go so deep. And I'd be like, what? I didn't think it was deep. I was like, no, what? I'm just, you know, they just thought it was going to be like a regular interview that their publisher, you know, or PR person set up, sell the product, you know, just the facts. And so what gave me joy, I never tired of that job, I can say, that title, that role, because I was always being what I am, the teacher, bringing out the kernels of truth, reflecting back on the person, wow, this is why you're amazing or why you've done what you've done. This is how you're an individual. And they'd even say sometimes, oh, you know what? I never looked at it that way, but you know what? I was always been like this, like a little kid. So it was this wonderful revealing of the truth of who they are on a soul level, so that others, not only others could witness it, but that my guests could come away witnessing that they're more than what they thought, that they're not just, you know, a fashion designer or selling perfume or whatever. You know, my show was fashion and beauty, so it was all in fashion, beauty, and health, which could be very surface, but not really, you know, not to me, not to the soul interviewer. I was like picking them out, you know, picking them apart. So I share this with you, Tasha, and everyone else today, is look at how you're doing things differently, what and why. It's got to be satisfying for somebody to be doing their soul's purpose and be on their soul's path. It has to be satisfying something for you, something that you're also realizing. Like, I realize my wonder and my kind of quirkiness, even though I didn't always, you know, you go like myself or whatever, you know, I went through my emotional stuff too, hard on myself. But I always kind of thought, oh, you're kind of cool. You're kind of interesting. I kind of saw this uniqueness, this difference. And I didn't shy away from it. And I see that in other people. And so I want to bring that out in other people. That's part of my service. So you could be looking at what is it you want to bring out in other people and how. It's not just the what, it's how you do it. That correlates to your uniqueness, and which correlates to your soul. That makes sense?
Thank you. It does. It really does. Even the question that you asked before in reference to, like, evaluating values, principles, I mean, that had me going on a trip.
Okay, let's say for our listeners. So Tasha's doing my soul entrepreneurship program, group program, and so some other people in the chat. And one of the things that I ask everyone is to look at your values, principles, and beliefs. What do you value? What do you believe? Beliefs will change, so will that, but the core belief, core values will not. And what are your core principles? And sometimes you're right, Tasha, we have to get rid of some of the beliefs. We have to look and see, wow, first we have to value ourselves, our gifts, our unique soul qualities. But what we value, what we believe in our principles, that's what attracts us to certain people. And to be connected to our soul group, our soul pod, our soul tribe, there will be more resonance than dissonance with our values, principles, and beliefs. If you're in a place where there's a lot more, too much dissonance, then you're not in alignment to your soul. Okay, because there's always going to be a little dissonance to kind of, you know, mix it up, shake it up. That's where we grow. That's where things are mirrored. But you want to be around people where there's more resonance in your values, principles, and beliefs.
Makes sense. Yeah. So much sense. It's changing my life. The show, literally.
Is what? What?
I'm enjoying it more now. It's changing my life, literally, and I'm enjoying life more now.
Oh, I love hearing that. Oh, my God. That is so great. But you know what? I had the same thing. It took me a while. I mean, I've always had a level of joy. But, you know, I went through a lot of, you know, deep inner, I've been, you know, working on myself, healing for so long. And I kind of had a resistance at one point, really. My repatterning therapist brought this up, resistance to being here on the earth plane. And that's why my hashtag is human in training. It's very easy to be spiritual. It really is. It's very easy to be a spirit. It's bringing those principles into the earth plane and being human and having faults and, you know, and messy emotions and all of that. To have joy in that, which is something like the Dalai Lama, some of my gurus had tried to convey. Osho was one that was like that. So yeah, you will enjoy life more. And I find myself as I'm opening more and more and being more in alignment to my soul, I'm enjoying life more and more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a tickle
No, you're right. I'm not as afraid of the process anymore. Like, oh, I think I'm getting to a beautiful point now where I want to go through the process. Okay, what is this? It's like going through the hole,
yes!
And it's like the wall.
Yes! That's right. I'm telling you, but the soul loves that stuff. The soul loves it. It's like, yeah, baby. What is this now happening? Wow, why is this coming up? Let me get in there. It's only we were taught that it was wrong. We were taught that it's wrong to have problems. But we're a problem-solving species. I mean, that's what we're here to do. Challenges and problems that create solutions. That's a form of self-expression. So we all have grown up. And unfortunately, many are continuing this, but it's changing. But we've been taught to just pretend we don't have problems, smile, don't think about it, focus only on the good, the positive, everything's perfect. No, not all the time everything's not perfect. Because then we that's what inspires us to make changes within ourselves and within the world. So, if you're having problems, that means there's a great solution about that you have to discover or let happen. You know, every problem means that we're going to a new level, right? Or learning.
No, it's
Kasha, thanks
so much.
You see it?
Oh, you're welcome.
In what way? Okay.
I was just going to say that the challenges as problems anymore, or problems as I see them as a blessing. What can I learn in this? That's the only thing I'm going to say.
Wow. I love that. What wisdom? What wisdom?
Thank
you look at say it again. You look at it as what can I learn?
Oh yeah, what can I learn in what it is that's presenting itself, as opposed to oh my God, this is happening. No, I look at it. I'm starting to look at it differently, and I'm enjoying it more. I can engage in it as opposed to run away from it, or get depressed, and
right.
So it's a different. Yeah, it's completely different. And the resources come.
Yeah.
I've realized that as well when I'm open to it. The resources are available. I'm seeking more. So it's a completely different living as well.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I think it's just when we realize we're not wrong to have a problem or make a mistake or be off path, when we realize, no, not everything's meant to be, I can be off path making a mistake, I can make a correction here, I can adjust. When we realize that it's okay for these things to happen to us, you know, it's okay to get a divorce. It's okay to have a breakup.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay you had a little fender bender. You know, it's okay you lost your house and you're building back up. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't reflect that somebody isn't conscious or a bad person or they didn't get it. It's soul growth. I love what you said about that, Tasha. You're looking at it as something you need to learn. And there's growth there. Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, my dear, for calling in. Always, always a pleasure.
Thank you, blessings.
Yeah. Keep shining. Keep shining that light of yours.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, 831-595. You're on Awakening. Welcome.
Hello. I really enjoyed that. Something that I was processing while you guys were talking was that...
Oh, wait. Give us your first name. Because I was talking with
you. I'm sorry.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome. Welcome.
I was really in depth and thinking about what you were saying. And part of that, it's okay. And when something happens, I always reflect back. My insert thought was always, what is it I'm supposed to learn from this? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And when you're approaching somebody, if there's an incident with somebody else, it's almost to me like controlling the anger. Don't get into that ego yet or ever, and just go work your way through this. Find out what's going on before too much else gets involved.
Yeah.
And And on that note,
okay, I'm going to clarify, but one thing, it's okay to get into the ego, because the ego is part of your psyche that has to do with keeping the status quo and survival, keeping you safe. So it's okay if that part gets triggered. Just have the love, the compassion, the emotional tools to help that part grow as well. So sometimes we get angry. That's okay. Anger is okay. So with that, yes, your question,
well,
your thought?
I've worked on my spiritual journey for quite some time, and I feel very comfortable in it, and the people around me who don't like it, so be it. And one of my assignments just ended, and I just feel like there's something more for me to go, and I don't know if I should be focusing more on the metaphysical part of my spirituality. I know I love counseling. I love teaching. Do you see another assignment coming my way?
And what do you mean by assignment?
I don't call it jobs. I like to say assignment.
Okay.
I am looking and starting my own business too.
Okay, that's what I was going to suggest. Yeah, I feel like you could do something transitional, a transitional assignment. But I also feel that your metaphysics, that you need to do that as well, to not shy off from that, make that a prominent part of your life. And it's showing very good working like contract work or freelance or working project-based, taking on different projects.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's working nurturing, working with women, working in health and healing, those areas are coming up. The other thing that I'm getting around you, is there a fountain where you are? I think it's like a little fountain, wishing well. There's something with like
lots of fountains in areas that I live in. I live right next to the ocean, California. Very Hispanic, Spanish mission decor.
Yes. Oh, okay. There's one near you, and I feel like I don't know if it's a little park, because I see like a little walkway, and I think there's some bushes. It might be rose bushes. I see pink in there. There's a lot of elementals, the fairy realm there. So your path right now is kind of getting in touch. Think Cancerian, think water, think sensitivity. Think intuition, mother, motherliness, earth mother, universal mother, the feminine, divine feminine. That's your next phase, is to get more in touch with your intuition through the body, through feeling, also through foods, nutrition. So I feel like there's going to be some changes there around there for you as well. And really getting in, because I feel like you have this deeper part of yourself that's very intuitive on a feeling level. You are, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So they're showing me for you to go there and to write, to just be open to what comes through. Will there be another assignment? Yes. It is showing that there will be another assignment. But I feel like you're going to be doing something else. See, the metaphysics is for you. It's the cornerstone for you. It's the structure for you. But this nurturing, this intuition, and the health is a big part for you. Health, healing is a big part. Does that make sense at all?
Yes. Not only am I an LVN nurse, I am a massage therapist. I have a degree in traditional Chinese medicine.
Oh.
Recently, we had thought that I was pregnant, and I just remembered the doctor that I was supposed to go see. The fountain is in the middle of the quad that he's in. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're on the path. Just let it unfold, you know, because that what's coming up for you is working in that capacity that I was seeing.
Okay.
And I would say motherhood is in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're a mother all to right. so many, but some of it will be through obviously also your work. But yeah. Let us know how it goes. Keep us posted,
I
okay?
I so appreciate it. Can you keep me on hold so I can listen to the show?
Absolutely. Our guests will be coming on shortly.
Shan.
Okay, it's that time for our awakening conversation, and we have with us today Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, who are the authors of The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships, as well as the sequel, The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy. That book won the 2015 National Indie Excellence Award for Sexuality and the 2015 International Book Award for Relationships. Really want to give a warm welcome to Molly and Joe.
Oh, thanks, Michelle.
Welcome to the
hello.
Program. Hi, hello. Is it Molly or Molly?
It
Molly.
Is Molly, like Polly.
Molly. Oh, Molly. Okay, great. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I had a chance to look over your books a bit and really love the focus, the lightness too with it, the light, because sometimes it's going to be charged and heavy topics for people.
Yes.
But the right, but the lightness and the awareness that you bring. And I first want to start, I want to dive into the book, but I want to get a bit of the both of your background. And I'll ask both of you this together and separately, when you kind of woke up together to come together. But first, your own individual awakening and knowing, or the part of your awakening that led you on the path that you are now, how did that unfold for you? How did that come about for you?
For me, I think it was back in the mid-90s, taking a relationship course by a couple who were very far ahead of their time, and that really opened my eyes to the possibilities in relationship. I don't think I really used the tools that I learned for a couple of years till I met Molly, but they were lying there dormant, just waiting to be tapped.
Nice. The woman kind of has that role, you know? We kind of do that.
Uh-huh.
All right. You were prepared. You were ready. You were prepared. Okay. And Molly, what about for you? Right. Thank you. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he was cute. When we first started dating, he kept saying, "You sound like these people I used to take this course from."
Yeah.
Over and over he'd say that.
Oh, I love
right
it.
I think for me, growing up in a family that was like the worst at relationships in every respect, it sent me out of that house going, I gotta learn how to do this better. This is hell. Anything could be better than this. and I did have the very, very beginning, because of all kinds of psychic experience when I was younger, of attraction, a natural attraction to anything that was mystical. So I went in search of those kinds of answers.
Mm-hmm. So relationship and connected to the mystical. All right. So that gives us a nice little breeding ground here, tilling the soil. So now bringing it to this level where you really are focusing on sexual healing, the power of intimacy, the power of coming together as a couple. I think, and I'll just interject here because I'm studying Eastern traditions as I have, that it's actually called the householder tradition. And it's actually looked at as a part of sacred spirituality to be in a couple relationship and have some form of, you know, household experience. We don't really look at that so much in the West. You know, it's kind of like, you just stick together with somebody. But you do in your books, so I mentioned that, you bring a sacredness to the idea of coming together and coupledom. So how did you get there? How did this, like, eureka moment, the aha moment, like, wow, this is what we're meant to share?
I think for me, in the last few years before I met Joe, I had a spiritual group that met every week, and this just fabulous group of people that would come to my house and talk about whatever I was interested, try out any of my crazy ideas, and it was such a learning experience for me. And you know, about 7 years into that was when I met Joe virtually online, and we started having a conversation, and I realized here was somebody who seemed like they might be open to trying all of these ideas within an actual, you know, intimate couple. And that, to me, was just the ultimate.
Yeah. It's amazing when you find that. Oh, it's amazing.
Really.
And
is.
Joe, for you?
For me, you know, my real aha moment, I think, was when we'd been in relationship for about 4 years. And it just was just this amazing, incredibly connected relationship. And our whole focus was trying to figure out how to make relationships even better. And we, at one point, we just sat down and we said, hey, you know, we can either keep doing this and having a great time, or we can, you know, do this, have a great time, and write about it. And that's what we ended up deciding to do, that this stuff was so important to get out there that we needed to collaborate on a book.
And I think that process of writing that book, which the first one took us 4 years, I had been in publishing for, you know, pretty much my whole career, so I think in books. But that really intimate, intense process of writing together and exploring, you know, we started coaching people and to try out our ideas so we could, you know, see how they worked and see if they needed some refinement. But that process was what really, it seems like, just was like a rocket ship for us as a twosome, just like exploring what makes a relationship great. Can't do anything but make a relationship really great.
It's one thing you've learned along the way.
That you can't, say that again, that you can't do anything but make...
Well, that basically, if, you know, the greatest way to have an incredible relationship is to be continually exploring what it takes to have a great relationship.
Ooh,
I love
that. Kind of
circular thinking, but we're always looking for, we're always sort of playing at the edge, you know, trying to see what works, what doesn't.
And so that's kind of turned into advice for anyone, right? You get where your focus is. So if your focus is how can we make this phenomenal, that's what's going to start happening.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
God,
sorts
I
of
love
opportunities
you're saying.
Appear.
Well, and I see this so timely because, in a way, you know, I've kind of termed we're moving away from consumerism into creativism, and from the me to the we. This new paradigm we're all co-creating is really based on the relations, the interconnectedness, interrelationship to everything and everyone. So relationships, which they always were, but, you know, we were doing something different, you know, in the world, in the universe, trying out something else. And so there's this, I feel like, this great adjustment or correction that it really is all about relationship. And, right? It is. And so many people, you know, we get a lot of calls. How do I have a good relationship? How do I find my soulmate? Which I want to dive in with you because you do have that book, The Soulmate, you know, it's based on the soulmate experience. What is that? And people more than ever are waking up to the fact like, wow, not only do I want deeper meaning and purpose in my life, but my relationships, and especially one with a significant other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
there's nothing
timely.
Like it.
Yeah. Both of you, how would you term the soulmate experience?
Well, it, you know, we had a hard time choosing the word soulmate. You know, it's an interesting, funny word, but it's also a very common and popular word these days. Mm-hmm. But the difference, the twist for us is that we don't believe there's just one soulmate out there for you.
Oh, thank God you said that. I said that. Yes, I agree. I just want to interject. Everybody listening, thank goodness. Yes.
And Michelle, here's an easy way to get to that concept for some people. One of the main, and you've already mentioned it, one of the main spiritual concepts in all of spirituality is the idea that we're all one. And if that's true, if we were all reaching full enlightenment, we would recognize that quality of connectivity, of soul, deep level connection with every other single soul there was. So that's why we talk about the soulmate experience, because it's that experience that we're wanting.
Right, and it's not an experience that you're just going to have with one person.
Necessarily.
Oh, I love that. Okay, I see. I love that, that you say the experience. So really, if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that in a way you're living that experience. Oh my God, I get goosebumps. You're living that.
Exactly.
That soulmate experience. It's not just looking for this one person or thinking you're going to get it with this one person. You're living this interconnectedness. Oh, wow, that's very powerful.
What if? It doesn't really matter, right? If there were only, at this point in time, only one person on the planet that you could have this experience with, if you believe that, what if you're not ready? And so what our book is about is getting you in the place where you're ready for that, and from what we've seen, when you make yourself ready for that, it's there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether there's just one, because here it stepped into your life and you're going for it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I love what you're saying, because I do feel living with that openness and seeing that interconnectedness, living that, making relationship important within yourself, your own relationship yourself, and, you know, with each other, that's when you do start drawing in many people that reflect that, but then that's what I call the soulmate that's also life mate, you know, the one that you're going to... you know, can kind of, like what you've done, the two of you, it's like you both consciously agree, okay, hey, we're going to do this. This is, come together, let's go. Do you feel in your own...
You're suddenly supporting each other in both of your evolutions. You also have this sort of mutual evolution that happens automatically where you find things that you want to do and create in this life together, but you also are there as each other's support for your individual evolution as a soul.
And that's actually a whole chapter in our book called Plain Leapfrog. So it's, you know, it's like the children's game where you're supporting each other to get to the next level. So the same sort of thing in terms of a relationship, you know, we're always maybe better at something than our partner. And so if we can bring our partner up to that level, it just makes the relationship just take off.
It's like a playground. Very exciting. So if I see where Joe might be limiting himself, or he can see that for me, and it's not that we're imposing our vision on them, but which is something we just wouldn't do, but being able to see, wow, I can see how he limits himself with this belief about himself, I'll offer my assistance here, and if he wants it, we can, you know, help raise him up past that, beyond that limitation he's imposed on himself.
Yeah. Now I love that.
Want it.
But no, I know. My partner's that way too. I can be that way sometimes. I don't know. I'm a little more like, let's get in there. I'm changing. I'm let's go. But I love that component that you're bringing in to this significant other relationship. And again, I agree with you. I think you can have it with other. I have it with my colleagues, people that work with me, like my friends. They will
bring up stuff.
Yeah. But can we just let everybody bring up stuff for ourselves? Well, because we can't see everything. We do have our blind spots.
Yes. And wouldn't it? I would much rather take in what they're having to say to me. You know, and, you know, I might feel embarrassed or whatever, but I'd rather endure the embarrassment, go through it, and learn from what they can see.
Mm-hmm. So we've got within this soulmate experience that we're talking about, it seems like there's a level of intimacy, like a kind of a revealing. Do you find in relationship that there's levels, layers within the relationship? Is that... Or do you feel like it's just, you're just there?
Well, it does take awareness and consciousness, right? Because we're not fully evolved, so we're going to have places where we're fearful, and that fear is going to want to try to shut us down, keep us from being too vulnerable, and, you know,
the
big fear that we'll get hurt if we're seen. But we develop over time just this constant self-monitoring. Oh, I can see I'm kind of closing myself off here, and I'm going to take this risk and tell this guy, Joe, kind of not wanting you to see this about me at the moment. It's still vulnerable to do that, and it's always a positive thing in the end.
Yeah, it's hugely rewarding to both individuals and the relationship to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's refreshing to hear you say this, because most people gloss over that part. And so then when you experience it, and I've definitely experienced it myself, when you start experiencing it, you don't see it in the book that you've read, you go, oh, maybe there's something wrong with me. they're in happy bliss still, soulmate.
Yeah. There is no way we could have written about all of the very many things we wrote about if we don't experience them ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you talk about in the book ways, I know you talk about reprogramming, which I think is so important, ways of getting through, because I think that's what everybody's, their layer. I mean, you want something and you're glad you have this being in your life. And then at the same time, you're walling off to it or shutting off because you're afraid of getting hurt. Are there ways to move through that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the sexual healing topic is really just a focusing of the general overall healing aspect to this relationship and to all the soulmate type relationships we've seen. Healing is an integral part of them because you're always looking at where you're holding yourself back and you're always exploring those edges and seeing how can we help you in this spot. And one of the tools is the idea of reprogramming what we're mentally telling ourselves. Everybody's kind of aware of this now, that what we tell ourselves reflects in our body as emotions, it reflects in our lives as everything around us. And the simple, basic process of watching what you're telling yourself, analyzing it to see if it's working for you, meaning bringing you the experience you want, and then trying out, getting rid of that thought and trying something new is the basic process of reprogramming. So many people I work with, oh yeah, I know that, but do you practice it?
Yeah,
and it'll come out
exactly
in the first 5 minutes about something they've been telling themselves for the last 10 years that's making them feel miserable. I'm like, have you practiced it here? Oh, well, no, not there.
Yeah. That's what I'm a big proponent. You have to work with somebody. I mean, we go to the doctor, the nutritionist. We've got the fitness trainer. You know, we go to classes. We go to yoga. There's a teacher, you know. I think you can do a lot on your own, but I think we all, no matter how evolved or conscious, we have those spots. And, you know, we think we're doing it in one area, you're right, but not sometimes, you know, doing it in the other, can't see it.
Yeah.
The soulmate lover, if you can talk about that, because I think there is such a call right now for more, you know, as I said earlier, meaning and purpose, you know, in our lives and our relationships, but also that wanting to connect physically and wanting to feel good about that somebody, you know, feel good about you. I love that you touched on the body. I think that's so important as well in your book. How did you writing this book come about and what do you feel that your wish or hope for this book will help people do or connect with?
Well, how it came about was that in the writing of The Soulmate Experience, we kept having this information, most of it about sexuality, and we tried to put it in, and, you know, we had a big reading group at the time, maybe, 50 or more people.
That were reviewing the chapters for the Soulmate Experience.
And they just kept kicking it back to us, saying, oh, this doesn't feel right.
This is too much.
It's too much. It's overwhelming.
Because the Soulmate Experience covers so much. It covers
so
resentment
much.
And jealousy and helping each other heal from trauma and all this stuff. And when the sexuality stuff started coming in, like how to connect in a more playful, open way in the bedroom is like, oh my God, you guys are just, it's just too much information. We can't take it. About the third or fourth time we heard that from them, we looked at each other and said, oh my God, I think we have a second
book.
This is
the next book.
But, you know, I do like how it's broken up that way. I do like how you did that because I agree, even this is my field, I was like, the soulmate experience, I was so satiated with that. It's like, now I'm in this experience, and then the next step is, okay, what about the love life?
Go.
You know,
let's go into the bedroom.
Let's go into the bedroom.
There's so many, you know, chapters like letting go of sexual shame. Huge topic that, you know, just to get all of that in that first book would never have worked, which we didn't realize it at the time. But now when we see the two books, we're like, it has
smart,
to be
smart reading group that we had.
Yes.
great reading. Why do you feel from your research and working with people, there is such a disconnect and uncomfortability when it comes to sexuality, which is something so natural and that people want innately, but yet sometimes people, like, I get people, I don't know how to do that, or oh, I really need this, but I don't, and I say, well, did you talk to your partner about it? Did you tell him? No, not really. You know, I'm telling you. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to tell him, you know, in session. So what's happened to us, and how can we, you know, heal through this?
Well, I think that, you know, so many of us grew up with some issues around sexuality, some negative issues, right? Whether it was abuse, whether it was just embarrassment. And even if we didn't grow up with that, we don't get any education about, you know, we get the very surface level. Here are the mechanics of sexuality, and if you get pregnant, da, 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 da.
And it's worse
but
than that.
They don't know
what we do get.
Where do we talk about intimacy?
Yeah.
You know, where do we talk about connection? Where do we talk about communication with your partner? You know, maybe we gloss over it a little bit, but really we don't have that education. So we, you know, we get to sexual, I was going to say sexual maturity, but that's very, you know, it's not always that way, you know.
Maybe physically we're mature,
age,
but in no other way.
But the emotional isn't there.
Right.
And we have sex connected to so many things that it really doesn't need to be connected to. Like, all of our self-esteem issues are connected there, especially around the body, right? We're afraid to be fully naked and, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically in front of another person. Like Joe said, we haven't practiced doing that. So how can we suddenly do, you know, we hit 21 and we're supposed to be able to connect that way?
Or 16 or 25, you know, it doesn't matter. If you haven't had that education, you're going to be somewhat at a loss by the time you get to that age.
And I think it's only getting worse. You know, we have a teenager, and we can talk very openly to her about what, you know, her culture is learning about sexuality. And this is pretty much, I hate to say this, but it's pretty much the porn generation. This is how these kids are learning about sexuality, is even a more disconnected way than we did. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be serious repercussions in terms of their ability to connect and have an intimate sexual relationship.
And there already is. I mean, I had a client, no judgment, but their daughter, I mean, had sex with, I think it was, she was 12 or 13, and the reason was just to see what it was about. Just to see. Not love, not, you know, I was like, well, gosh, you know, even, you know, if you're the motivation is like, oh, I just wanted to see what it was about. I see the turning with this, and I loved, you know, growing up in the MTV generation, the music videos. Unfortunately, that became the vision and the mantra. If you look back, there's a deciding turn with the youth that grew up with, you know, after that, with that being kind of the norm, and then you put the social media in there, everything, this video snapshot of what's sexy, what looks good, how to act. Yeah. It's like that became this blueprint.
Yeah. And it's all external.
Yes.
And we go into sexuality as though it's some external thing, and then we have issues with our body, so we're going in with a handicap right from the beginning, and not knowing how to get to the more intimate connecting part of the whole thing. One of the things we've been working on, we're actually working on another book on sexuality now, is how to get into the mindset of just approaching sex as natural adult play and being able to let go of all the things we've got it attached to that hamper us in just having fun with our partner in the bedroom.
Yeah, I love that. Because it is, I mean, that definitely is a huge, you know, part of it. One thing I find, you do take a lot on the kind of the interview, you know, the body, but the mind as well in the Soulmate Lover book, which, and you talk about play at the edges of your sensory comfort zone. Touch on that a bit.
Yeah, it's just anywhere, you know, that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit scary. That's the kind of place that we like to play, because it's where the life is. And so we're always telling people that we work with, go and explore those edges. Don't cross over the edges, but get up right up to where you're feeling discomfort, or you know, and then see if you can't turn that into excitement.
And support
you
each know? Other in that, in that transformation. Mm. And one of the big reasons to do this stuff, to find your sexual edges and play there, is because otherwise your relationship's going to get dull after a while, which there's no lack of evidence for that in our world.
That's
that
true.
We try to... Yeah, we go into the bedroom, we do the same thing as we did last week, time and time and time again, and we wonder where the life went.
Mm-hmm.
And the life can be found in those places that are a little bit scary, because when we first got together, we didn't know each other. It was very exciting. We didn't know anything about how you would kiss, what your interests were, and so we want to keep mining this incredible world of sexuality for some excitement to keep injecting into our monogamous relationship so that it stays at that level of, ooh, this is fun, let's go explore some more.
Yeah, the life is rarely at the thing that you did, the, you know, last week and the week before and the week before that. You know, the life is in something new and something a little bit edgy and...
Yeah, I mean, the thing you did before, that if we both love it, then it's cool to keep that in our repertoire. But a steady diet of that forever and only that has the potential to start to taste kind of bland.
I do like, too, that you bring the correlation in your book, like challenging the beliefs or going in your own edges. Like, you know, that I think, I don't know if it's the name of the chapter, but it starts with, you know, that that's with all the no's. I'm just wondering, do you see a correlation there if you're kind of going to your always next level, your unfoldment, and I love this, challenging your beliefs. Do you feel that that translates or crosses over into the bedroom, into your sexual experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think everything does. If we feel...
Oh, that's interesting. So
if
how you are in the world is what I see. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're kind of saying what, how you are in the world, how you are in your own life, you're bringing that in, one would bring that into the bedroom. So it's healing in the bedroom, but outside the bedroom could be healing for in the bedroom, and in the bedroom can heal you for outside the bedroom. That's what I'm
saying. Absolutely. I mean, let's just look at one small thing of acceptance. The more we feel safe in each other's presence, the more we're going to be able to explore in the bedroom. So even if that safety is something that came from outside, like, you know, I told you this really scary thing about myself, you totally accepted it, supported me, that's definitely going to translate in the bedroom.
Absolutely.
Because you'll feel safer then. So you'll open more. Is that,
And that's really the environment where you can explore anything.
Wow, to get to that level, you know, or be open, I guess, within yourself, living that, so you draw in or attract someone that can not only go there with you on that level, but be there for you at that level.
And I think knowing that that's possible in a relationship makes it a lot easier to attract that.
Right, because, we're not given any guidance on how to attract somebody who's ready for something like that. We cover this in both our books, what you're looking for, because you want somebody who's able to interact on these levels. And leaving it up to chance
doesn't work for most people.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working too well.
No, I agree with you. I think you need to get really clear about what's important, that being a biggie, that healing. I know that's what I got in my life, and I was like, okay, I've done all this. So I'm opening that's the kind I want, and that's that, you know, because to go to those deeper levels.
And we talk, there's a piece in our new book called Don't Be Limited by Your List. And what we found, so many people, when they make up their list of what they're looking for, it's so confining.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily include these more broader, richer, important concepts.
Which is the ones we would promote, you know, for people. Focus on the broader concepts, not
the specific ones.
I agree.
How it might look.
I think I did a list 20, I think it was more popular. I mean, it's still kind of popular, but when it was real, and you know what? They don't work. I'm not a proponent of those lists. Not at all. At all. And he works over there. He does that. And we go play. You know, the broader, though.
We would
though,
never
the soul
be together. Michelle, we would never be together if it were for lists.
If it was a list.
We would not have matched.
Our list
each other's
would not
list.
Have jived up.
Get rid of the list and let and bring it in.
I really had this idea that, you know, the universe knew better than I what would be the most fruitful thing for my soul to connect with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a really broad thing, right? Universe, bring me somebody who my soul can connect
yeah.
with. Right? That leaves it wide open in terms of
yeah.
all the details
the universe
that you might have
to deliver on what you're, yeah.
But I agree. But I so agree with keeping it brought what's best for my, in alignment with me. That covers everything. See, you know, you guys bring up such a great point here that our soul or the higher self, universe, God, whatever, that part of us that's all knowing, knows what we really need and want. The little ego that's stuck on the hair color and the height and this job and we go to the movies twice a week, you know. But yeah, if you just say, hey, the one that's told best for me, most aligned in my soul's experience, help with me, my sexual healing, and really we can rock it together. Wow, that's what you're going to get. That's you're going to get that. Totality.
And spend the rest of the time working on yourself so that you're ready for that.
Good point.
Instead of looking for somebody with that right hair color.
Yes. Yes. I love something else that you talk about in The Soulmate Lover. I want to touch on this before we run out of time. And it kind of piggybacks on what you're saying about the working on yourself, which I so agree. But you talk about identifying and developing aspects of yourself that you've turned off or just aren't fully using. And I want you to really touch on this because I do find a lot of people kind of stop. You know, there's parts of themselves that are not developed or fully developed or, you know, just turned off completely. And then they look outside themselves and those very qualities they need to turn on, they're like, oh, that's really what I want. You know, it's like major projection. Can you touch on this about this mm-hmm. with the aspects?
The chapter's called Accessing Your Masculine and Feminine Energies. And we find a lot of people talking about the feminine and masculine as though women have all the feminine qualities and men have all the masculine qualities. But when you look back in history at martial arts in particular and yin-yang and that whole theory, what that was all about, these Chinese masters were saying everybody has all of these qualities and martial arts was originally designed to develop all of them. When it came over to the West, it became just this
the fighting.
Just the external qualities. Right. But originally, Chinese philosophers said the goal of a human is to become a complete human being, accessing all of these parts of themselves. And the more, you know, a man like Joe can access his intuition, the more somebody like me can access my ability to make things happen, that strength and willpower, the more together we can be in almost anything that we want to pursue, whether it's a sexual relationship, raising a family, the more we both can contribute.
And I think over the number of years we've been in relationship, we've expanded our, you know, both sides. I mean, Molly's definitely, actually, when we met, you know, I think maybe Molly had a little more masculine and I had, you know, a bit more feminine in me. And so we've actually undergone this sort of evolution where, you know, Molly's feminine side has expanded and my masculine side, I think, has expanded. So we have quite a great, you know, blend together. And it's not like I'm the masculine one and she's the feminine one. You know, it's really great.
I love what you're saying. We are, and in fact, I'd love you guys to come back and talk even more about that aspect because I feel, I love what you're saying because being in a, for women now, being more out there and making things happen, there is this switcheroo that happens. And then when you want to be more in a more conscious relationship, there needs to be another little switcheroo energetically, otherwise it's not going to work. And same for the man. And I think that needs to be talked about more and understood more. Molly, that, you know, it's kind of women are given the, especially right now for some reason, that it's just this divine feminine, the feminine, the inner gate, the feminine, the feminine, but not showing how, and that if you are making it happen in the world, you are going to be accessing more of your male energy. But then when you get with, in a conscious, you know, love relationship, there has to be a rebalancing and that's okay.
Yes. Yes, and there is, it's like a dance.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
one that we feel like we just do all the time so that we can play with all of that energy and not just say, oh, I'm only this now and you're only that.
Right, that's too feminine for me. I can't go there. Yeah.
Right. I can't go to this conversation about my feelings and emotions, you know, or, you know, like going to a sports competition with you and competing. That's a very masculine thing. And we just
right.
enjoy all of this stuff together.
Life is
yeah.
a lot more fun when you've got the full range of masculine and feminine incorporated in your relationship.
Yes. Thank you both for being here. We're out of time. This has just been so fun and light and deeply insightful. Thank you so much for being on Awakenings.
Thanks for having
fabulous.
Us, Michelle.
Thank
That's
you
great.
So much.
Take care.
All right. And that was Molly Apple and Joe Dunn. And two of their books, part of the sequel, The Soulmate Experience and The Soulmate Lover. And you can find out more information by going to thesoulmateexperience.com. Got both of them. Great read. And love the work that they're doing. Again, that was Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, and you can find out more information about their books and their work at thesoulmateexperience.com. Well, everyone, another great program. Thanks for joining us again. If you have any guest suggestions, topic suggestions, you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com, as well as questions on the air, and the producer will get it to me. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.